Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Will Irish householders face gas rationing this winter? Well, today the EU urged member states to reduce their gas demand by 15%. Ursula von der Leyen, president of the EU Commission, today said Russia is using energy as a weapon and that Europe needs to be ready. So what will it all mean for Irish consumers? Well, Dr. Muireann Lynch is energy economist with the ESRI and she joins us now to talk us through the implications. And you're very welcome to the programme this evening, Muireann. I suppose maybe if energy rationing is introduced, what we're talking about at the moment is a voluntary ask, but that there may be legislation passed by EU member states to make it a mandatory ask. What would it mean in real terms?
Yeah, exactly. So at the moment, this is just European policymakers trying to coordinate their efforts. And what's happening at the moment is essentially we're just asking national governments to come up with policies and that kind of thing that would reduce our gas usage. And that figure of 10 to 15% is being talked about. However, you know, we couldn't rule out down the line that there'd be actual legislation put in place to require this. But in the meantime, it's more about trying to put plans and contingencies in place. And the idea is that if we manage to reduce our gas usage now, that would allow us to build up more of a buffer in storage. And that means that going into the winter, we're in a stronger position.
So this really is all about Vladimir Putin, isn't it? And what has been happening over the last couple of months with the Nord Stream gas supply. Can you explain that to us and what he has done and what the knock-on effects of that?
Sure, yeah. So this has been going on for a while. I mean, we actually had increased energy prices before the Ukrainian war, and that was partly due to lingering effects of the pandemic and the fact that gas storage levels were at very low levels. And then what happened once the war in Ukraine kicked off was we found there were economic sanctions put on Russia, particularly on energy. We didn't actually say we wanted to stop using gas ourselves, but it was first coal and then oil. And obviously, because you can substitute from one type of energy to another, that had a knock-on impact on gas prices. And then we've started to explicitly see Russia explicitly cutting off various countries and various sources of gas supply. So Ireland is not actually directly connected to Russia, but Russia is a major supplier of gas for Europe in general. And the way it has played out is, first of all, Russia began threatening to cut off gas supply to countries that didn't begin to pay for their gas in ruble, even though the contract specified that it would be paid in euro. And then Russia has actually begun to shut off certain gas supply, essentially kind of not honouring certain contracts. And then what's happening at the moment is one of the major gas pipelines into Europe. It goes into Germany. It's Nord Stream 1. It's been offline for maintenance. Now, that's normal. Summer is a good time to perform maintenance on gas infrastructure because the demand tends to be lower in summer. So there would be a scheduled shutdown, an agreed shutdown every year in order to allow for that maintenance. But the fear is that this year they simply won't turn it back on afterwards. And that's what policymakers are essentially waiting to see. Will Russia bite that bullet or not?
And if they don't turn it on back afterwards, after this maintenance, and I think that date is happening this week, it doesn't allow the EU to stockpile gas, which was the plan, to try and get a nice big reserve of gas in place by the winter.
Exactly. I mean, it would significantly impede our ability to do that. Now, we've been trying to build up our stockpiles and we've also been trying to source gas from other sources, particularly liquefied natural gas, because that can come on ships and in barrels. It doesn't have to come through pipelines. And then also maybe ramp up exploration for new gas fields and that kind of thing. So all of that is in process. But it's certainly the case that if Nord Stream 1 weren't to come back on, it would limit our options.
So what the EU is asking at the moment is that we would voluntarily start everybody to reduce their gas usage to try and keep those reserves as high as possible for the winter. If they do go down the mandatory route, and that is being actively talked about and considered at EU level, can that be enforced or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, the way it would be enforced would be by legislation, and obviously that needs to come with agreement of the various member states, the various governments. So I think it would be down to a kind of country to country basis and how to do it. So there'd more, there would be an agreement at European level that we were going to pass legislation to reduce usage. And then how it works out would kind of depend on country by country basis, because different countries rely on gas for different things. Some countries rely on gas more for heating. For others, it's more for electricity generation. In some European countries, electricity generation is actually very important for cooling, for air conditioning. So their demand is high right now. Whereas a country like Ireland, our gas demand tends to get higher in winter because we use it more for heating. So I don't think there would be a kind of a pan-European set of rules that we all have to follow, but it's more that there would be European-wide agreed reductions that we would all want to enable through domestic policies. And the detail of that remains to be seen at national level.
But in terms of the enforcement of it, Warren, is that possible? Can you force businesses, if the legislation was to be introduced, for example, in the winter, to use 15% less energy, or force households to do that? I mean, how does that work?
So at a domestic level, the enforcement is tricky, all right, because you can't just turn off the gas to one house and not another. You can't really turn off the gas to a housing estate and not a hospital. So the enforcement certainly would be tricky, and it remains to be seen how we would do it. Obviously, some kind of gas that we get in bottles, that's easier to ration in some ways, whereas the piped gas is harder. The only way, there are some areas in the gas network where you just have one large energy user at the end. So you could, in theory, turn off those gas supply points. But the problem with that is an awful lot of those large energy users are actually electricity generators. And you certainly don't want to turn off their gas supply, because then you have an electricity supply crunch. However, I would say that it's certainly more likely that industry would be asked to dial down their production over and above households or indeed public buildings like schools and hospitals. There could be a way to do so via a payment. So we do this already in the electricity sector, where you can essentially volunteer to reduce your electricity usage in return for a payment. So there's grounds to do that on the gas side, where instead of physically forcing you not to use gas by turning off the supply, we first see if people would be willing to voluntarily reduce their gas usage. But if it comes to the point that we have to actually start turning gas off or limiting the extent to which people use gas, then it certainly would be difficult to enforce at a technical level.
What does this all mean for prices?
Well, what it means for prices really is they're going up. We've seen gas prices at historically high levels. European policymakers are committing to the idea that one way or the other, we want to get ourselves off Russian fossil fuels, kind of regardless of the situation in Ukraine. I think probably some of the rationale behind that is to send a signal to people that now is the time to invest in energy saving measures such as energy efficiency, or to switch to other types of energy, whether that's renewable energy or switching from one type of fuel to another. Because the problem is, if people think, okay, these prices are really, really high, but it's only for the next 6 months, then you might just try to basically grit your teeth and get through the next 6 months. But if you think, no, high prices are here to stay, then that means that the economics of something like retrofitting your house, investing in a solar panel, they actually start to stack up and your payback time becomes a lot shorter. So I would say all of this uncertainty and any kind of limitation in supply means higher prices. There's nothing we can do about that. But in the longer term, it does mean that the economics of getting off fossil fuels is starting to stack up a little bit better for households and for businesses, even though it tends to mean a large upfront investment. And there's also the fact that the construction sector is very constrained at the moment as well. And we're seeing high inflation in construction.
Yeah, it's difficult no matter which way you twist and turn it, isn't it? But you've explained
it. Really
it
is,
You've explained it very well for us, Maureen. Just to note that the Irish Examiner reporting in the last couple of minutes that Vladimir Putin has signalled that Europe will start getting gas again through Nord Stream 1, but that he's warned that unless a spat over sanctioned parts is resolved, flows will be tightly curbed. That's what the Examiner is reporting at the moment. And we're going to be discussing this again in some detail after 5 o'clock, so we might get some more information on that then. For now, Dr. Maureen Lynch, energy economist with the ESRI. Thank you very much. Ireland has been asked by the European Commission to cut its gas use by 15% starting in August. That's Monday week. Ursula von der Leyen made the emergency request of all member states this afternoon and declared that a Europe-wide cut-off of all gas from Russia was now a likely scenario. So what will that mean here in Ireland? And can Ireland even make a meaningful contribution to the EU shortage, given that all our imported gas comes through the UK? Well, in a moment we'll hear from John Fitzgerald, adjunct professor of economics at Trinity College Dublin and a member of the Climate Change Advisory Council. But first we're joined by Ciarán Cuff, Green Party MEP and a member of the European Parliament's Energy Committee. And you're very welcome, Ciarán, to the programme this evening. So if this 15% reduction it appears to be voluntary, or will be voluntary in the first instance, but if it is enforced here, what difference would it make to people's lives? What does that look like?
Well, I think here in Ireland, we're lucky that we are relatively insulated from heavy use of gas. In countries like Austria and Germany, it will be much more painful because they have a lot of heavy industry, car making, steel manufacturing, a lot of sectors that will be really heavily impacted. Here in Ireland, we use gas to generate electricity. Some people use gas in their homes, but not to as great an extent as in Europe. However, if we are to make a 15% cut, I think we have to look very carefully at what sectors will be impacted. We need to make sure that we have security of supply on our electricity. And I would imagine that next week at the energy ministers' meeting, that there will be a discussion as to whether Ireland should do the 15% or not. There is the possibility of seeking a derogation of up to 10% from that. As most of your listeners know, a lot of our gas comes from the UK through Scotland. Some comes from Corrib, but the UK gas mainly comes from the North Sea. So we're not as locked into the continental European grid as many other countries are. So there may well be a case for not having as much pain here in Ireland.
On the basis that we're not using the gas that is now going to be in short supply. Is that the idea?
Absolutely. The further east you go into Central Europe, the more doom and gloom there is. And rightfully so, because for many years, countries have been enormously dependent on Putin to keep the taps running. Now, what we've seen over the last 6 months is the EU is trying to reduce its gas use, but at the same time, Putin has been turning the tap. What we just heard today in regard to the Nord Stream pipeline, there was a real fear that it would not be opened again after maintenance over the last 10 days. But it looks as though gas flows are coming back into that. But look, I think everything's up in the air. And if I think from an Irish government perspective, the focus will be on protecting the vulnerable. It'll be on protecting households, those of us who use gas to heat our homes or to cook our meals. And I think we will absolutely be working hard to protect them. And certainly that is the messaging I'm hearing, not just from the Irish government, but from governments all around Europe. Okay, Protecting the vulnerable has to be at the heart of
this. So the idea then really would that be, or is the idea that it would be businesses first rather than consumers first?
It would be. And there may well be businesses out there who will be looking at this and saying, what's happening to me? One of the elements announced today is that there may well be financial support for businesses who do have to turn off their production due to their use of gas. Look, I think the focus today is on the short-term issues that need to be tackled. But I couldn't let this go by without mentioning, you know, in your news heads today, we hear about climate change. We hear about the hottest weather ever recorded in the UK. We desperately need to accelerate our move away from fossil fuels. And I think Putin's murderous actions in the Ukraine remind us all that we have to cut down on our dependency of fossil fuels in general and Russian gas in particular.
Yeah, and we're going to be discussing methane, which I know comes from fossil fuels as well, a little later in the programme, and what we can do in relation to that. You mentioned security of supply on electricity. That's something that we need to make sure we have. So where are we on that, or what are the concerns around that?
Well, I think if you look at Ireland's electricity mix, the good news is that we have massively increased renewables in the last few years. So 40% of our electricity comes mainly from the wind, a little bit from Ardnacrusha and other hydropower stations. But we also use coal and we also use gas. And we use a lot of that, particularly when the wind doesn't blow. But I think when you look at electricity supply, I would think that that has to be high up on the list in terms of been the last to have an impact over cutting off gas use. I would imagine the focus needs to be on industry in advance of considering any disruption to electricity supply.
So if, as you say, it looks like Vladimir Putin has announced, we just mentioned that news before 5 o'clock, that he is going to restart the gas supply via Nord Stream 1 to Germany now. But if he cuts it off completely in winter, which is a scenario that Ursula von der Leyen now says is likely, what happens then?
I think it will put huge pressure on gas supplies in Europe and the market will respond. I think the wholesale price of gas will go up.
I think everybody will face
higher bills. And there is talk, you know, if the worst comes to the worst, of rationing these big industry users. But look, I think as a consumer, we've all looked at our gas bills and we've reduced our gas use over the last 6 months. I think if Ireland can put in this 15% reduction, it does take pressure off the gas prices in the UK, where Ireland is strongly linked. So I think it would be good if Ireland can make that 15% voluntary reduction. If all the 27 member states can do that, it takes a lot of the pressure off the price rises.
OK. Stay with us, Ciarán. We also have Professor John Fitzgerald on the line, and you're welcome to the programme, John. As Ciarán's mentioning there, really, apart from our home source carb gas, all our gas comes from the EU, and there was a reason... Oh, sorry, from the UK rather. And there was a recent report in the Financial Times that suggested that potentially to protect itself, the UK might actually stop exporting gas to all other countries and shut off supplies. Could that happen to Ireland, that we would no longer be able to get our gas from the UK? And what would that mean?
Most unlikely. The UK has provided certain assurances to the Irish government that they will treat Ireland as just part of the greater British Isles gas system. So I don't think that unilateral action by Britain is likely.
And I don't know whether or not the prospect of Liz Truss becoming the next UK Prime Minister, we were discussing that a little earlier in the programme, would that change your view on this? She's not seen as a particular friend of Ireland's. Could she complicate matters or use this as leverage in some way in negotiations with the EU on Brexit?
Better her than Priti Patel, who made even more critical comments about Ireland in the past. If the UK even wanted to do so, it would be very complicated to do so. It would involve legal issues within Britain, and because basically, how do they cut off the Republic and not cut off Northern Ireland? The gas pipe, gas flowing to Northern Ireland, flows through pipelines in Scotland, which are owned by Ireland. The pipeline from to Derry through Ballymena is owned by Gas Networks Ireland. So if the UK want to do so, it'd be relatively simple for them to do so if they cut off Northern Ireland. But if they want to cut off Northern Ireland, so be it. But I don't see that as being likely. So I think it is possible. It is a concern which the Irish government would have. But I would be inclined to accept UK assurances that that is not going to be an issue. I think there are other more complicated issues now arising. And I think the less likely scenario is the UK cutting off Ireland.
So talk me through the more complicated issues arising as you see it.
All right. Within continental Europe, there are lots of gas pipelines and you can pump gas in different directions. So it seems to me fair and right that just because certain companies, Germany and Italy, had bought their gas from Russia and others had from Algeria or Norway or LNG, that for the German economy to be forced to collapse because they were unwise in the past and had contracts with Russia, I don't think that's the right answer. So I think the EU approach to this of solidarity, where we share what gas we have, that sounds sensible. Where it becomes complicated is the United Kingdom is not part of the EU, and all our gas comes, we don't have a direct connection to the EU. So if we cut back our consumption by 15%, unless there is a deal with the UK to share that saved gas with Europe, if the UK just holds on to it, it'll just reduce prices for the UK and won't do anything for Europe. So I think it would require discussions between the EU Ireland and the United Kingdom to allow our solidarity with the rest of the EU to work. Mm-hmm. So you can see that that is a complicated issue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've explained it very well. I mean, because if the UK doesn't agree to give our 15% that we cut back here, if they don't agree to give that to the EU, we're effectively just taking the pain in sort of moral solidarity. We're not actually giving any practical help to the EU.
Yeah, and I don't think that the EU Commission have... very senior commission official, I was most unimpressed that she was seemed totally unaware of these issues when she was in Dublin. Okay. So I hope they've been brought up to speed. I'm sure the minister has been working very hard in bringing them up to speed. But if we could share, I think it is the right thing to do. But it would be complicated to share.
Okay, Kieran, can you shed any light on that? Has there been any discussions as to whether or not if we are asked to cut back our gas by consumption by 15%, whether or not that's any use to the EU, or are we actually giving back to the UK?
Certainly in any meetings I've had with the Commissioner for Energy, Cadhry Simpson, I've made the point that Ireland is an island off an island that is a third country in EU terms. I think the waters are somewhat muddy because not only do we have gas and electricity interconnectors with the UK. The UK has similar interconnectors to mainland Europe. So there are potential gas flows and potential electricity flows. And obviously gas is a source of electricity generation as well. So it's not quite as clear cut as I think some might make it out to be. Clearly, we don't want to show solidarity if it's of no use. Mm. But by the same token, I think when we look at people like Viktor Orban threatening the EU, I think certainly the EU has been a friend to Ireland over the last few years with Brexit. Now would not be an appropriate time to be looking for derogations left, right and centre.
Well, this one, because you mentioned at the beginning that Ireland may look for a derogation next week. So do you think that's likely or not?
I don't have enough knowledge of the Irish gas market, Sarah, to share. Shed light on
that. Do you think we should?
I think solidarity would be useful. I think the European Union has been a huge friend to Ireland during particularly tough times, during the pandemic and certainly during Brexit. I think we would have been much more challenged had we not worked with our European colleagues on all of these issues.
I do understand the point you're making as a sort of a moral show of solidarity, but if it is of no practical use for Irish consumers, businesses, to cut back their gas consumption by 15% and take an awful lot of pain as a result,
perhaps the Irish
government having to make payments to businesses to recompense them, and we know that there's a lot of stress on the exchequer already as it is with the cost of living crisis and all that. That's a very costly show of solidarity.
I'd say that'll be the substance of the diplomatic meeting this Friday. Another layer on top of this, again, is the contractual obligations. The contractual obligations that Ireland and Irish companies have with Gas Networks Ireland and other entities to bring in gas. So I think it's not as simple as political decisions being made that suddenly impact. I think there are contractual agreements, and I'm sure there's a lot of lawyers looking at the small print of what was announced today and looking at the small print of the contractual obligations that they have with the energy provider.
Okay, just one final question to yourself, John, in terms of sort of, how bad this could get. Would you have any concerns about Ireland's energy security come autumn, or will the lights stay on?
I think the lights will stay on. I think, firstly, assuming, and we tend to assume a malign view of the United Kingdom, but actually at the moment, all the electricity connectors, which normally bring electricity from France to Britain, are flowing from Britain to France to help out the French who have a heat wave and so on. So don't write off UK showing some solidarity in the future. In terms of electricity security, it is the gas supply, and that is the top priority. We use our gas for that first. The reason why households would be next in the priority is partly because households are important, but also because technically you can't cut off households. If you tell John Fitzgerald not to burn gas, if he burns gas, there's not much BGE can, or the gas suppliers can do about it. Mm. And in the Second World War, this issue arose. There was massive shortage of gas, and households were told not to burn gas at certain days and so on. And there was what was called the glimmer man, who would go around and could go into any house and check whether your cooker was hot, had you been illegally burning gas. Now, actually, it turned out there were only two glimmer men after the war. There was enforcement was very weak, but actually people did cut back. But the reason why, if you don't pump the gas into the pipeline and people start burning the gas, air might get in and it becomes explosive. Oh. So households, it's very difficult to cut off households.
Okay.
That's why industry is likely to be the big hit.
All right. Well, thank you both very much for joining us this evening to shed some light on what is going on, if you forgive the pun, John Fitzgerald and Ciarán Cough. Thank you.